Here's something. Rodney killed a baby once.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, now, Horace, you stop that. Rodney never killed a baby.
He did. He's a baby killer. Killed a sweet little baby.
It was a werewolf. A werewolf. It looked like a rabbit animal.
Yeah, that's what he says. But what I saw was a wee little baby just laying there with a silver bullet in his brain. Sweet little baby.
Werewolf, I saved your damn life.
Oh, thank you, Rodney. Thank you so much for saving me from an attacking baby.
Werewolf, it was a small... I thought it was a damn ocelot, okay?
Okay, baby killer.
Hi! Welcome to Venture Bros, a Venture Brothers podcast. With me, your host, as always, Brian Dressel. With me, as always, is Nick. I didn't look up a show, Friedemann.
Oh, that's okay. I'll give you one. Frasier.
Okay, that was a cartoon from the 60s. Why not? And Matt, I still didn't look up a show for him either. Dykes.
I've got that one before.
I've got another one. Cheers.
Oh, Cheers. Okay, another cartoon from the 60s. I love it. What about Matt?
That is mine, though, isn't it?
Oh, Cheers? Oh, sure. Yeah, Matt Cheers Dykes, the cartoon from the 60s.
Yeah.
We took a lot of time off, and in between, you thought I would have been able to find at least two more shows for the final episode of season 6, and nope, sure didn't.
That would involve you preparing for these things, though, right?
I mean, I did a little preparing, as in I scheduled it, and I watched the episode, and then
well,
of course,
as you watched the episode.
Yeah, I watched the episode, and of course, Brock Holliday's wonderful notes will help us along, so you know, we're doing good. Everything is fine. Thank you, everyone, who's been waiting ever so patiently for these episodes. Life really got away from me and my wife, and we just didn't have time to record two different shows between this and After the Hype. And since After the Hype, we're doing a very timed release with Rise of the Skywalker, I had to prioritize that one, which is really unfortunate because there's way more of you listening to this show than After the Hype. But here we are, and we're back, so that doesn't matter anymore, right?
And Venture Bros is better than Star Wars.
I mean, I won't ever say that out loud, but I'm also not going to say you're wrong.
I'm indifferent.
I mean, I don't know how you couldn't be indifferent with given Rise of the Skywalker coming out. That movie looks like mayo on white bread. Yay! Let's make as bland of a Star Wars movie as possible.
Well, that's what they've been doing since 1999, so why change it up now?
I mean, if you want to see our feelings in 1999, the same episode today dropped on After the Hype for Phantom Menace, so go over to that and check it out. But we'll just do a really quick, how have you guys been? It's been a month. Been good?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Now we can actually talk. Funny, because the last time we recorded, we couldn't even mention what game Nick was working on, and now it's out.
Yeah, that's true. Take a guess as to what it is.
Guacamole 2.
Call it, isn't it guacamole? It's not guacamole. How dare you?
Isn't that what I said?
I don't think so. It doesn't matter.
I definitely did not say it.
Pong.
Yes. I was working on Pong 4.
Yes.
It's about time 4 came out.
The Star Wars game that came out.
Yay!
I just love how you don't even say the entire title. It's just the Star Wars game that came out. Yeah, that's
Jedi
Star
Fallen Order.
There it is.
Yay. Sorry, Jedi : Fallen Order.
Oh, their colons fall out?
Oof. That's
true.
That's unpleasant.
Very unpleasant.
I don't want to have to go through that again.
All right. Well, this isn't After the Hype, so we don't need to keep talking about stuff we've been doing. Let's just dive into the most impressive season finale since the other season finales. Red means stop.
You mean the non-finale?
I mean, it really is a non-finale. It really doesn't wrap, like, fucking anything up.
Nope, and it almost bleeds right into the next episode, so... I watched all of these twice, I kind of have a hard time differentiating what exactly happens in what episode.
Yeah, this episode through the first three of season 7 could just be one long movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it would be awesome, but we're, of course, you know, that's not how we do things over here. So we're going to try to segment them out as much as we can. Matt, how do you feel about doing a quick breakdown of this one? I know you liked this episode.
Ah, shit, I knew you were going to say that, and
I haven't
prepared anything for it.
And you're shooting shots at me over not preparing? Come the fuck on.
Well, I usually prepared breakdowns for all of them, then I started asking you which ones I was doing, then I forgot to ask this time, and I thought that I wasn't doing this one, so...
I've been planning this for a month. Matt's going to do the breakdown. Matt's going to do the breakdown. I should probably tell him. Nah, it'll be funnier if I don't. And here we are. And I was right.
You bastard.
I can do it really, really fast. This way we can just keep moving along. So basically, the episode starts with Sheila has figured out that Dr. Venture is not the Blue Morpho, but she knows the Blue Morpho is still out there, so they come up with this huge plan to try to take him on. Meanwhile, the Monarch and 21 have figured out that there's only one more guy left arching Venture, so they have to go kill him, and that's the Red Death. You're not going to kill the Red Death. He is the best villain in the entire show, and he's fucking awesome. He's not going anywhere. And they figure that out and realize it's not really going to work, and basically, while they're doing that, Sheila and that plan of basically taking OSI people and a few guild people and dressing them up as if they're the Ventures to try to lure Red Death, therefore luring the Blue Morpho, completely falls apart, and it just turns into like a pool party and two snipers fall in love. And then on the other side again, we find out that Gary hasn't been killing fucking any of the villains and have been locking them up in a saw-like basement and feeding them very good food, but one guy goes, nah, I don't want that food. I'm going to eat everyone's butts. And that's what he does. And
he's a butt eater.
He's a butt eater. And at the end of the episode, Red Death finally gets to quench his thirst for blood and kills the one remaining villain and cleans up all the bodies with his red phasing thing. And that's pretty much it. Yep.
Way better than I would have done.
Yeah. I love this episode. I think it's a great episode. I think it is probably one of the more lackluster of the finales, because it's definitely not a finale, but as far as a normal episode, I think it's phenomenal.
Well, let's just jump into that really quickly. They never intended that to be the finale, though. They were writing up to the point where they thought they had two more episodes left, and then they were told, no, you don't, that's it. So they were like, what the fuck? The reason they thought they had two more episodes left was because they didn't realize that all this in Gargantua 2 counted towards the episode order. So they'd been going on the assumption of, we've got 10 episodes, not eight episodes, and the two-part, well, the double episode special. So they literally got to the end of like writing the episode, thinking there are two more episodes left, and then we're just told, no, that's it, that's all your episodes.
And the only reason that's as disappointing as it is because it takes so fucking long for seasons to come out that the wait between episodes on this one was brutal.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that sort of like end episode and thinking, when's the next episode? And then like looking up and seeing that was the season finale. I was like, what? No. No.
Yeah,
like, no. I did a full on like, you know, Darth Vader. No.
Oh, yeah. Because that's their finales throughout the entire series are so strong that you look forward to them because you know it's going to be an awesome episode. And since this one, just due to scheduling and whatever, didn't turn into a finale, it's kind of like you're just kind of left a little, huh? Still a great episode.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it gives us Red Death. I mean, like,
oh, my God.
Come on, mate. It's like one of the greatest characters they've ever created. I mean, like, you know, some may say better than the Monarch. I wouldn't be one of those, but some may say that.
We haven't had enough time with him. Even between the two seasons, we just haven't had enough time to make that claim yet. But he is an amazing... I'd say he's still the best villain in the show, because he's the best at it.
I mean, Clancy Very Brown true. As well. He's got an amazing voice. That way that he just flicks from, you know, oh, I'm, you know, Mr. Rogers, hello, ha ha ha, to I am evil incarnate.
It's so fucking good. But that's kind of like, what did you guys think? Did you guys still like the episode, even though it's not a finale?
Oh, I really liked it. It does it. I mean, I didn't know any of this as far as like this season got cut short, but it explains the beginning of the next season and why that feels more like a finale than this does.
Yeah. Because throughout the first three episodes of the next season, like, they don't really mesh that well with the entirety of the rest of the season, which we'll get into following weeks. But that's fine, because they're still great episodes. And just like this one, it might not be a finale, but it's still a great episode. So it's tough to be too upset about it, especially if the cost that we had to pay for not having a finale was having my favorite episode of the whole thing with all this in Gargantua 2. So it's like, I'm willing to make that trade.
Mm. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting as well, like what Nick was saying then about the first three episodes feeling not really part of the season. I think that would have been really good if they'd have done an All This in Gargantua 2 type special. You know, like, release it a bit, not right after, but, you know, maybe like a year or something like that. Not making everyone wait the entire 2 years, but we got three episodes instead of a two-part episode as well, which I think it gave them more, you know, when you guys get to it, because I won't be there, but, you know, it gives them more freedom to really flesh out the story and really wrap everything up nicely. And I look at that opening of season 7 now thinking, how would they have done that as a two-parter? What would have been cut? And like, how would they have actually have got everything that they needed to do done, you know, losing 20 minutes out of that?
And it's one of those things where, like, now where we are, just like kind of in viewing society, if we stream everything and we binge everything, the fact that we had to wait as fans means nothing, because when we go back to it now, who cares? We can still just plow right through it and enjoy it all as it was meant to be seen. So it doesn't really matter.
Right.
But let's kind of dive into the episode itself. And I just want to start with the big guy himself, because I was going to wait, but I know I'm just going to keep making references the whole time. So let's just start with Red Death. Red Death was a character that I just never saw coming. Like, it was just one of those things that I just never expected to love another villain on the show the way that I do the already established villains.
Yeah, he just sort of comes along and you're like, oh my god, this character is amazing. And even with that one episode, you know, I always thought to myself, this is an amazing character, and I always hoped that they did more with him. And I was so happy that when you get to season 7, he becomes a main part of it. Now, I do wonder if that's down to the popularity of the character, though. Like, you know, like like a lot of people talking about it on message boards or whatever after it's come out, and they're sort of thinking, the people are like Red Death, we'll write him in a bit more in season 7.
I think it was planned, because with what one of you or both of you were saying is that they kind of already wrote the beginning of the next season, which kind of became the next season. And I think that the introduction of, anyway, I don't want to jump ahead, but like where they expand his character to in the next season with his backstory and one of his like big missions that he did in the 80s, I feel like that was already planned.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it was just a happy coincidence that they just nailed this character so much that all the fans loved it, and he was already a major part of the next season.
Right.
It wasn't like, say, St. Cloud, where here's St. Cloud, and everyone's like, this guy is okay. It's like, well, he's also kind of a major part, so I hope you guys get on board, which a lot of fans out there have. I'm just not a huge fan of him.
When you see St. Cloud on that first few things, the first reaction I have is,
exactly. I mean, he's
ironically
much,
sounds like St. Cloud.
That's true. He is much better in season 7. I am looking forward to getting his episodes there. Yes. But it is kind of one of those things where it's like, that villain didn't really strike a chord for me, whereas Red Death, and maybe it is just the casting of Clancy Brown, but either way, just his character is so fucking good.
I think it's the casting of Clancy Brown, but I also think it's how they use him, which is, they had a strong idea of what they wanted to do, which is this guy who's like a family man who also is just like remarkably intense when he switches that switch. And I think that obviously having a great actor works, but the way that they introduce him is he's sitting on a bench just kind of like watching, and the monarch basically is like trying to pretend that he's not the monarch, and he's like, which one's yours? And it cuts to what clearly is his child. Like, it's just like no ambiguity at all. And I think that's such a strong opening. I think they just knew what they wanted to do with that character.
Love as well the one in the yellow raincoat, not the one who's got a big red fucking skull.
Exactly.
The rain boots after he read her Paddington Bear. It's like, now it's all just rain boots and marmalade sandwiches.
Oh, God. I mean, it's literally like, he's this ultimate badass character who you get the sense that, you know, he's basically retired, or at least semi-retired now. And he, like, the way they talk about it, he arches once a year, leaves a body count. So it's almost like he spends maybe like one day he'll arch, and it's almost like it's a necessity to keep getting like the benefits or whatever, rather than just retiring outright. It's like, no, I want to keep getting the benefits and things like that. And, you know, I do kind of enjoy it a little bit. So he'll arch once a year, and then like the 364 days, the other 364 days of the year, he is like,
you know, Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers, family guy, really happy. Oh, I'm so, you know, I'm lovely and everything. But then on that one day, he turns into just like this ultimate badass who just kills anything and everyone. Destroyed, like, you know, the destruction he just leaves in his wake. It's like, you know, I just love that idea of a character who is the polar opposite of what he actually is. More of the time, and he's very good at being both the family guy and this badass killer, basically.
And not to just keep comparing it to all the rest of the villains, but, like, this season was really kind of structured on, not like Monster of the Week-esque, but kind of a Monster of the Week of how each week the Monarch and 21 have to go kill a different villain. And we see a whole bunch of them. Like, my favorite was always the Andy Warhol villain that I always forget his name. But, like, even with him, it's like, he's great in this one episode, and I'd love to see more of him, but it might kind of ruin how awesome he is. Whereas this guy, you just know from the get-go, it's like, no, this guy's awesome, and he should stay.
Mm.
Totally.
Well, it's like the Wes Warhammer, by the way, is his name. It's kind of like the ignore me guy a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
Great for one episode, but you just sort of think if they'd have kept him around a bit more, it just got annoying.
Yeah.
So it's like a nice balance.
And personally, I think all of that comes down to the casting. Because if they had the wrong cast, this character could have gotten annoying. The whole flip back and forth, it might not have worked. But with Clancy Brown there, it's just like, this guy is a fucking Broadway acclaimed actor. Like, he is no slouch. He is,
I mean, he's an 80s awesome. Badass as well. I mean, look at some of the films that he was in the 80s. And, you know, the 90s as well. You know, he was in Extreme Prejudice. He was in a film that I've just done an article on, actually, Buckaroo Banzai. And he plays all these very different characters, but they're all very kind of badass characters.
Yeah, and the best thing about all of the stuff that he's done is he's the nicest guy. He used to come into my Starbucks all the time. Nick, you might remember him.
Super
nice. Super nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, we could do the entire episode on Red Death very easily, but let's keep moving along. The other aspect of this is we have to talk a little bit about would be Gary and 21. My God, Gary and the Monarch.
Different episode, Brian.
Very different episode. But Gary and the Monarch in this one for me, they're just kind of there, and I don't mean that in a bad way because they're there to move the plot forward, but they don't really have anything for themselves.
No, they're because I think all the buildup to this. It's so strange. Now that you told me this at the beginning of the episode, and I keep going back to it, it makes so much more sense with the next two episodes. Is the end of that arc comes in two episodes from now. This is the episode right before that where they kind of come face to face with, we've kind of flown through all of these, I don't want to say duds, but like, people that I would say are not up to par, and then all of a sudden they get to Red Death and you're just like, oh, this is now too much for us. Like, we've entered a different stratosphere of villain or antagonist.
Yeah. Thank you for the right terminology. I've been fucking it up all day.
No problem.
Totally.
The Monarch and Gary 21 are just, they're there as a kind of a way to introduce Red Death more than anything. So we can actually see his character a bit more. And it's like there is some of that. There's still that sort of odd couple thing going on. Like, you know, they've got the Monarch's line of where he comes home and it's like, I said 6:30 for supper, and like that sort of argument. And it's like, oh, don't piss in the sink. Oh, don't piss in the sink again today. Actually, just, you know, all that lot, that sort of like odd couple esque stuff going on, but. Yeah, apart from that, there's just more what they're doing is just kind of establishing Red Death a little bit.
My only complaint in the entire episode actually comes from Gary's plot line. Because throughout the entire season, we've been seeing him struggle with the idea of actually murdering these guys. Not killing them in combat or in war or anything like that. Stuff that a henchman would be fine with. But tracking them down and murdering them, he does not like. And this episode, you find out that he's been trying to save all of them because he's not that bad of a guy, and they've all been murdered. And it's probably his fault because he's the one who put them in a room together, and he's just sort of fine with it.
Yeah. It doesn't resolve in a really clean or interesting way. I mean, like, he kind of gets bailed out is really what happens.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, that's Venture Brothers all over. Like, we'll get into that in the next couple of episodes with Monarch. But, like, I like the failing to success theme that the show's always had, and that's kind of what happened here. But it still just, it felt like they kind of robbed Gary of a moment.
Totally.
I think one of the things as well that's not very clear is those people that are in the Saw dungeon, they're not any characters that we've seen him go against. So
right.
Something I was reading in the book was it's supposed to take place quite some time after the last episode, and the idea is that Blue Morpho and Kano have been going out and just taking out a shit ton of other villains that we've never seen before that were just on the list. And short of doing like a spinning headline introduction to the episode, like, you know, to make that abundantly clear, there wasn't really anywhere they could think to set that up within the time that they had, so they just sort of hoped that the audience would pick up on it. Because there's a lot of people in there, and you go back through the episodes and you think, well, where potentially could have any of these been? The only one that you can really think that it could be is, and I'm blanking on his name now.
The Wandering Spider guy?
Wandering Spider, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the only one that you could sort of conceivably think could be in there. And he's not, because he's massive. So he'd stand out. He's, you know, his body on that pile of bodies would have stood out.
Well, then I had to give credit to the creators because I did exactly that. I'm like, oh, they must have gotten these guys in different episodes, and like in between episodes.
Yeah.
I didn't assume it all happened between the one before this and this one. I just assumed it happened while it was going. We just saw the important ones.
Mm. So I think the way they described it was like you've got the first few episodes where they just take place very quickly after each other, and then between the last episode and Red Means Stop, you've got a bigger gap where Blue Morpho and Kano have just been going out and just taking out a shitload of them, and they're down to the last two essentially, which is Red Death and then Wide Whale himself.
Yeah, I definitely didn't get that, but that's fine. I mean, I still made the connection that we didn't see this, but they still did this, so it's kind of fine. I think might not be their intention, but we all ended up in the same place anyway, so does it really matter?
No.
Yeah.
Should
we talk about Dr. Girlfriend's plan?
Yes, because I love Sheila. She's one of the best characters in the show. I don't think this was her best plan.
No. For me, it just feels weird because it's like, I guess, like, the thing, it's a problem, I think, of how it's framed, because we know who Blue Morpho is, and we know that there's no way that he can go up against Red Death.
Right.
But nobody else really knows who Blue Morpho is. They just know that he's kidnapping villains. So in a weird way, it's like, I guess that they're like, we just don't know what we're working with, so let's put him up against a heavy hitter sort of thing.
Sure.
But it feels weird knowing who Blue Morpho is and knowing that he can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, I think the problem is how we have more information than everybody else, so the plan kind of feels weird because we know that the plan can't succeed. That's at least my thinking on it.
No, I think you're right, because it feels like it's kind of a crap plan, but when you think about it, it's like, nah, maybe not. I mean, all they're trying to do is just lure him out into the open and then take care of him, which would have been a solid plan. It's just the fact that we know it's the Monarch, and he wouldn't stand a chance against most things, let alone Red Death.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's the idea of, like, they had their plan, and then the Monarch has his own plan to just try and almost, not so much blackmail, but trick Red Death is just signing over, which backfires on him as well, because then he has that Liam Neeson-esque speech of, you know, if you let my family go now, that'll be the end of it.
Oh my god, just the Monarch's reply of okay, sorry.
And then when they put the phone down, oh my god, that's so fucking scary. Oh my god, what are we gonna do? We have to let him go. We can't, we don't have them.
Oh, it was so good.
Oh, you know, but, the voice actor who plays 21 does Scared Shitless fucking amazingly.
Oh, so good. But, I mean, like, that's kind of the whole thing of, like, what Nick is saying of we're looking at Sheila's plan of she's expecting not just, like, top-tier villain, but the toppest of the top. Like, as high up as you can get, somebody who could actually take on Red Death. And they're going to help Red Death is their idea. And then you flip sides to the Monarch, who's like, I'm going to pretend, he thinks he's actually doing it, but I'm going to steal the scariest guy in all of existence, wife and kid, and hope for the best. It's like, these guys are playing two totally different games. It's like, one of them's not even playing with a full deck, and the other one's playing golf.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I think Nick's right. I think that's why it feels like it wasn't a good plan, because it's just, there's no way it would have worked. Right. Unless the actual Blue Morpho was there. And even then, I don't think that guy could have handled the Red Death.
No. No chance.
I don't think he could have handled Red Death if Red Death had both of his arms tied behind his back and his feet in cement shoes.
But here's just a question, just throwing it out there. Do we think Brock actually could have kept fighting him?
Yeah.
It's weird. So clear. Okay. So I was thinking about this. Like, what are Red Death's powers? One is, I think he knows. He clearly has either an information system or he knows what's going on, in a weird way, because he finds the Monarch / Blue Morpho with little to no effort. Then the other thing is, I do think that he has the same thing that Brock has, which is he likes the fight and the challenge. So I don't think that he necessarily starts at 10 or 11. So I think that he might have fought Brock for a while, but I think at some point he would have just killed him.
Yeah. I think Red Death is the only, like, legit person that Brock absolutely could not take down in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not absolutely. He'd give him a hell of a fight, but I still think Red Death would come out on top.
That's the thing. I think Red Death would have enjoyed the fight. So it would have been kind of like, I think we've mentioned it in the past, with the opening of Avengers Infinity War, where, you know, you think, oh, God, Hulk's going to beat the shit out of Thanos, and then, you know, they've got that line of like, oh, let him have his fun or something like that. And it's just, and then you realize, oh, Thanos is just toying with him. I think it's that kind of thing. Where Red Death would have been like, oh, yeah, I'll take on Brock. And, like, Brock's giving it everything, and Red Death's giving him maybe, like, 30% or something, but he's enjoying the fight. And then at some point, he would just, like, rip him in two or something like that.
Yeah, I think it would be like that. I think he would really enjoy fighting Brock. But I don't think it would end well for Brock, unfortunately. And it definitely would not have ended well for Shore Leave, so he kind of lucked out there.
Yeah.
100%.
I love the way that Brock ends up being himself as well. Like, they play rock, paper, scissors, and it's like, Rock. It's like, Rock, you lose again. And it's like, paper beats Rock. No, it doesn't. Rock beats everything, because it's Rock. It's such a Brock thing.
You should pick Rock. It's the best one.
Yeah. Because you just know that the way Brock is seeing it is he's picking up that rock and just beating someone to death with it. And that's the way he's winning in his mind.
Or, like, if he has paper, he'd just punch a hole through the paper with the rock.
Yeah.
This game's never made sense to me. Paper covers rock. For what? Who cares?
Yeah, it covers it. Stupid. Oh, now I've just got a paper cover on my rock that I will beat you to death with.
I'm just saying, taking a hard stance against rock, paper, scissors, the game's flawed. Come here first for your really timely critiques of old school games.
I mean, I could go into the whole thing about how it's an analogy for, you know, wealth, power, and military or something like that. But
no, but it's called rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just kind of talking about the people pulling off the distraction trap thing. That is a really, really underdeveloped story, and I don't think I wanted it developed anymore. I kind of liked the fly on the wall aspect we got to be of it. Just kind of like every now and then checking in on them and like, oh, now they're doing that. Oh, now they're doing that. Hey, look, they all took their shirts off and are playing volleyball in the pool.
Of course.
I just love Hunter as Dr. Venture, though. No, I'm frightened because I'm Dr. Venture. Help me, Brock.
I love that. I love watching Ward as Hank and Dean. That's so good.
Yeah. Go, like, Team Venture.
It's good stuff, but it's just one of those things like, this is clearly something they could have spent a lot of time on, or they could just get to the fun stuff, and they just went for the fun stuff.
Which is good.
Which is the smart way to go.
Absolutely. What haven't we hit on this episode? We've been talking about half an hour.
Well, I have one thing.
There's the little dinner party thing.
Nick, why don't you go first, and we'll move on to the dinner party thing.
This is a simple one. Does the episode title refer to Red Death or the Red Moco Cooler?
Well,
having had a Red Moco Cooler, I'm going with the Red Moco Cooler.
Because you would
I agree.
Stop.
Red means stop.
Stop making Red Moco Coolers. They are horrifying.
Stop coming up with DuckTales.
Ugh.
They are awful.
The fact that everyone in the pool cheers when he says the Master Mycologist is in the house, that does not make sense.
I think because nobody else has had any of his cocktails.
Well, you notice at the end of the episode, all of them are passed out.
Well, of course. They've been drinking fucking nothing but Kahlua. With a little bit of red Kool-Aid. Those drinks are horrifying.
Oh, grenadine.
What was the dinner party thing? What am I totally forgetting?
It's when Rusty's at Colonel Gentleman, the house with Colonel Gentleman and Action Man and Billy.
Oh, my. That had one of the best lines of the entire thing. Here's the thing. Rodney killed a baby once. Doesn't surprise me at all.
It's just a wee baby. Oh, thank you,
Rodney.
He was
Rodney. A werewolf.
Thank
oh,
you, Rodney, for
baby.
Protecting me from a wee crying baby.
But I actually do enjoy that whole sequence quite a bit, beyond just the comedy of that. For this, the little moment at the end with the honest bit of sincerity from Colonel Gentleman.
Yeah.
Of the, don't be a stranger, Rust, we're family. It's like, aw. They're insane, and you shouldn't spend any time with them, but they do care about you, Rusty, in their own supremely fucked up way.
I mean, it's like you get another flashback of just how horrific Action Man was.
How was I supposed to know you dive on a grenade?
Pull my finger. Oh, you pulled the pin out of this grenade. I mean, who the hell would do that?
I would totally, I mean, never for my son, but I would love to see Action Man as a babysitter just for like an episode. It would just be so good. And just end it with the, not today, Rusty. Not today.
Click.
Click.
Oh,
I spilled my coffee. I was laughing so hard. Okay, I think we should move into favorite performances. And this might be another week of all tying. And if not, I will be very surprised to hear why you're not all agreeing with me on Clancy Brown as the best.
Clancy Brown?
I agree with you. There's no discussion from me.
I usually write notes as why. I've literally just written Clancy Brown as Red Death. That's it. No discussion about it. I mean, it's something I read about in the book that when they were originally coming up with Red Death, they originally had an idea that it was going to be a goofier character, but then when they made him more badass and got Clancy Brown in, it just became this badass character. And they were so right to go that route.
Yep. Perfect. So that's it. We finished season 6.
Woo!
Wow! That season goes by quick. I mean, a lot quicker when you don't take a month and a half off in between recording episodes.
Yeah,
but
Brian.
I'm sorry. I had so much to do. Even scheduling today was difficult, but I wanted to get you guys some episodes still in 2019 before 2020 when we might lose Nick because he's going and having, you know, a life and stuff.
It's true.
Yeah. But we'll talk about that later, probably in 2 episodes or so. So for the final of season 6, there really wasn't a lot that I thought we could do because it is such a shorter season, and I'm still counting all this in Gargantua 2 as 6. But I did want to do like our favorite performance overall of the season, and then just our favorite episode of the season, and then we'll do a very quick round of plugs and say goodbye. And honestly, I don't know where to land on my favorite performance of the season. Do you guys have an answer right off the bat?
I mean, I think maybe the Monarch.
Yeah.
Because it just goes through so much. Like, the evolution of the character, so much happens to him in this season, and it's just done so brilliantly. But then I start thinking about all these other characters. I mean, you've got Rusty goes through a lot as well. You know.
Yeah.
Doctor, I mean, Mrs. the Monarch. Everything. It's such a dense season with character development. It is very difficult to pick one singular sort of performance, one singular character, because there's so much there. I mean, even Brock has got a shit ton of development with his relationship with Warriana.
Yeah, so I think personally, just with all of that in mind, I'm going to have to go with Chris McCulloch, because just between Hank and the Monarch and basically everybody else he plays, but between just those two, I would have to give the edge to him. And he played a lot more characters throughout the season. He was my number one, I think, on two or three different episodes. So I think I'll end up with Chris McCulloch just for everyone he did throughout the season.
That's fair.
I think I probably
what about you, Nick?
I would say... Oh, you're going to go with Chris. Okay. I would say probably Patrick Warburton as Brock, just because I really like the... Kind of like, this is the first time I feel like they actually nailed the balance of him trying to figure out what a personal life is for him and his job.
Sure.
I feel like he did a really good job with that.
He did. He did a really... Like, the performances across the board in the season were great. I mean, even like... I'm blanking on her name now. From SNL. Kate McKinnon. Like, even her few characters were fantastic. Mm. And then you had Toby Huss with his characters. Everyone did an amazing job this season. But I gave the edge to McCulloch just because he played so many characters and all of them were great. But you're totally right with Patrick Warburton. His arc was great too. So it was a very solid season. Just unfortunately without an ending. So favorite episode of the season. I'll go first again because I've already kind of gave mine away. It's got to be All This and Gargantua too. I love that episode so much. It's just so much fun and it's just ridiculous and silly and just a blast. I know it's not technically part of the season, but since the Cartoon Network considered it part of their count, I'll consider it part of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say maybe Tanks for Nothing for me.
Oh, such a good one.
just for one moment, really. That's it.
Is it the I Can Dodge It?
Yes.
I Can Dodge It. It's such a good moment, is that? And then immediately followed with him going flying out of the window. Oh, God. I think
that's a solid choice for that one moment.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think for me, it's going to probably be Red Means Stop. For one reason and one reason alone, though, Red Death.
Fair choice.
Brought him in.
That was my number two.
Yeah, it brought him in. But not only that, is I got to the end of that and I was chomping at the bit for the next episode. I wanted that next episode.
You mean you're not going to wait 2 years to watch it?
I had to. And, you know, I rewatched. I got to the end of season six and rewatched the entire thing about four times in a row. I think I actually watched the whole series twice in one day at one point. I just. Picking up on all the little things that I'd missed and just how amazing it was. So, like, the whole season's kind of like one big episode for me. But.
Six or seven?
Six.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's another solid choice. I mean, Red, that was a great episode. I just wish it was more of a finale, but that's not their fault. Mm. So, what can you do?
But it leaves you wanting more. And
oh, absolutely.
That's the key to any good finale. Really, is to make you want to come back. And God, did I want to come back.
And luckily, here in the future, we can just keep moving.
Yes.
Speaking of which, next week, we're starting up season 7. I know I told a lot of people, like, months and months ago that, like, oh, we'll just do season 7 early because people really want to hear us break it down. And then, as you could tell from me taking a month and a half off the show, I'm quite busy and did not have the time to do that. So we're going to start it next week. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm very excited to talk about it. Other plugs, just diving right into them. Today came out our Phantom Menace episode on After the Hype. So please flip over to that. Check that out. It was a insane episode. We, again, shocker. We didn't really prepare a lot. And it was just a lot of fun to just kind of ramble our way through that movie, is what I'll call it.
I think I heard the air quotes.
Yeah. and then just be sure to go to athpod.com and check out everything else we have going on. Great stuff. Demon Days is coming to an end here in a minute. Just they're going to take a few months off, or I think maybe a month and a half off, and just kind of, you know, rest their little tiefling heads and take a little snooze. But there's a lot of cool shit coming out in ATHpod.com, so please be sure to go over there and check it out. Nick, are you going to plug that game you were working on?
I think I already did.
Good enough. Matt, what about you?
Well, yeah, so it's coming up to the end of 2019 now. I've got two more articles that are ready to come out. I've got one on The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension, a film that I watched only for the title and found it to be fucking amazing.
Cool.
And another one on Warehouse 13. I don't really have a Christmas article this year, and I'm just kind of now looking towards 2020, like stuff that I can do there. I'm definitely going to do something on Heat, which is 25 years old. Oh, a fucking amazing film.
But in 2020, you're doing the Doctor Who article, right?
No, I'm not doing the fucking Doctor Who article.
But you said that you're going to do it in 2020.
No,
I remember.
No,
it. It's in one of these episodes behind us.
No,
I'm pretty sure.
No,
I'll just keep promoting it. It's going to come out. I'm excited.
Well, I am planning, and this is way, 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 way in advance, but I am planning a monster series.
Doctor Who article.
But it is a television series.
Doctor Who.
That's 55 years old in 2021. And I've been breaking it down into different parts, and it will be at least 10
13
parts.
13 episodes for 13 Doctors?
10 parts. I'm going to fucking kill you. But yeah, if you can figure out, you might be able to figure out what it's about if you've ever watched the series. It's 55 years old in 2021. 10 articles. There's a lot to talk about there. There's
I'm really excited for it.
That's going to be...
Sarcasm aside, I'm excited for the monster episode, as well as the Doctor Who one, which will be coming out at some point.
Fuck off for the Doctor Who one. But yeah, this monster one, you'll have to wait till 2021 if I'm still around doing stuff like that, if I haven't pissed you guys off by then.
Well, we'll see. Time will tell on that.
Well,
if you're to do a Doctor Who article in between...
I will...
Just say
how about this? How about I take a shit and post it to you, and you can call it the Doctor Who article?
I don't think people are reading that, but, you know, it's up to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I am coming back to LA in March, so I might do something that pisses you off and you never want to hear from me again. So the big article might never happen.
Balls in your court.
Yeah.
All right, so we got to say goodbye because we got more episodes to record so you can listen to more. So thank you so much for listening. Sorry again about the break. It won't happen again unless it probably will. So bye.
Bye-bye. This will be my last episode for a while as well. Bye.
Bye.